That was such an incredible kirtan. What can one say? And I'll make Badahari Prabhu embarrassed if I say anything too much. Can I say something then? You almost fell into my trap. Because there's having a good voice, and there's having a good heart. And then when you put the two together, it's such good association. And we thank Badahari Prabhu and also the other kirtaniyas today. Because they are kirtaniyas, they have awoken our kirtan ears, at least mine. Thank you so much. And also Shiva Raman and Virapu and the other devotees. That was one of them. Is Sachi Sutta Prabhu still here or is he gone? Oh, I need something. This melody that Damodar Astaka Prabhu is singing, it reminds me of one very specific pastime that happens every day. But every day in Vrindavan is ever fresh. And this is described, this pastime is described in several verses of the 15th chapter of the 10th canto. And this is when Krishna comes home from the forest after a day of herding the cows with all his friends. Of course, now the sun has set. But that specific time in Vrindavan, when Krishna is coming home, what is the name of that? Golduli. Because the dust of the cows, of their walking, is in the air. And that's one kind of a bath, by the way. It's purifying, like bathing with water. So, after a day of being separated from Krishna because he's been out herding the cows, all the residents of Vrindavan, they are so eager to see him again. There is one prayer that we read actually on the first day describing in the Keshava Astaka of Krishna coming home and his garland is moving in the breeze. Everything is so graceful, and everything and everyone in Vrindavan simply cooperates with Krishna's pastimes. Actually, Yogamaya. Actually, we think that Krishna rules Vrindavan, but actually, the pastimes of Krishna rule Vrindavan. They control Krishna, and the pastimes are ruled by Yogamaya. But actually, it's not even Yogamaya that rules Vrindavan. Vrindavan is ruled, controlled by the prema, by the love of the devotees. And Yogamaya reciprocates with that love. This is how powerful prema bhakti is. This is how rare it is. It's so powerful. It controls the spiritual world. It is so rare. It is such a different realm than the material realm, than material consciousness. And by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, carefully handed us to us by Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada's very kind followers and very devoted followers, a taste of that happiness from that realm comes during Sri Krishna Sankirtan, during the chanting of the holy names. And we become uplifted. And the consciousness gets a taste of something that's just simply not available in the material world, in the material realm. When the mind tastes that, It gets a glimpse of what it's like in Goloka Vrindavan. Tomorrow, Krishna willing, I will speak about a little about that in, when speaking about Sharanagati. But it gives us, it feeds the soul. It feeds us. And within our heart, the desire to be with Krishna gains strength because it's just a different type, a different quality of taste that's simply not available in the material world and the spiritual world. That's all that there is. But multiplied, of course, from my little level, I taste this much, but the spiritual world is an ocean, bhakti rasamrita sindhu, an ocean of rasa, an ocean of spiritual exchanges between Krishna and the devotees, and everything and everyone, the breeze in Vrindavan is moving Krishna's flower garland and his peacock feather in such a way that all the residents of Vrindavan, their hearts are especially captivated by that. So the breeze is facilitating that. And the dust of the cows becomes a decoration upon the body of Krishna. So in the 15th chapter of the 10th canto, the first entrance of Krishna into Vrindavan, after being out all day long, and all the residents of Vrindavan, they're simply thinking of Krishna. Oh, when will Krishna come back? He did this, he did that. Oh, I remember Krishna, only if I could be with him. Again and again, they're just thinking, they're captivated naturally, spontaneously by their unlimited oceanic love for this unlimitedly oceanic attractive person who is so beautiful, who is so clever, who is the most, he is Natapara, he's the best of dancers. So what's being described here in these verses, right at the end of the 15th chapter, is Krishna's entrance. And in Vrindavan, knowing that this Goduli time is there, the residents, they, and especially the young Braja Gopikas, they go high into the towers of Nandagaon. They go high so they can see from the distance that Krishna's coming. And the first thing that they see is the dust from the cows. And their hearts begin to beat faster because Krishna is herding those cows. And then, let me just read some of this. Then, lotus-eyed Sri Krishna, because his eyes are like a lotus petal, and they come almost to his ears, whose glories are most pious to hear and chant. When chanting about Krishna and hearing about Krishna is pious, it raises the consciousness. It brings it higher, closer to that spiritual realm that has real substance. The material world is all advertising and promise and anticipation that happiness is there. But this realm, it is composed of happiness. It is composed of bliss. And this is what we are all longing for. So when we chant and hear about Krishna, oh, I may have to take another birth just so I could memorize Sanskrit verses because they are so sweet. Krishna Kamala Patraksha, that Krishna whose eyes are like lotus petals, Punya Shravana Kirtana, who increases one's spiritual piety, not material piety, hearing about them. But yes, if you want material results from spiritual piety, yes, Krishna will rain those down on you. He will pour those down on you, whatever you want. But if we somehow want to taste that realm and we don't want anything else, and if we want to bathe, if we really want it, tatra loyam api mula mekalam, and that's all we want, and we can't tolerate life without living in that realm, without associating with Krishna, without having a relationship with Krishna. I was listening to Prabhupada speak about yes, it's true that God is great, and all religions, they say God is great. And even to meditate on that greatness that brings some relief from the material world instead of meditating on material desires, but to have a relationship with him, an intimate relationship with him. Prabhupada was speaking about that. Now that is the most wonderful thing. And that is Krishna consciousness. So Krishna Kamala Patraksha, Kamala Patrak, like a lotus petal, Punya Shravana Kirtana, Stuyamanam Anuga Gopai. While the cowherd boys, his friends, were singing his glories, Stuyamanam, their words speaking about Krishna were stutis, they were prayers, they were the highest prayers because they were glorifying Krishna. Oh, Krishna did this today, on this day. He and Sagrajo, Agrajo, his elder brother Balaram, on this day, they took Dhanukasura and so many other ass demons and threw them into the tall trees. Oh, Krishna is so wonderful. And they were singing songs about Krishna's pastimes on this day. And the residents of Vrindavan, after seeing the dust, or actually even before they could hear these songs, they heard the sound of the flute of Krishna. What can we say about how that must have touched their hearts? Because the sound of Krishna's flute, it captivates everyone. It is described in the 21st chapter of the 10th canto, how the sound of Krishna's flutes, when the rivers come in contact with that sound vibration, the waves on the rivers stop. Soft things, liquid things, become stationary, and rocks melt, hard things melt. There is a transposition of qualities that comes by hearing Krishna's flute. And the cows, when they hear, when the sound of Krishna's flute enters their ears stand up. Sometimes we see the cows in Vrindavans, they have very wonderful ears. They can even practically cover their eyes with their ears. Now you can't do that, but the cows of Vrindavan can. But when they hear the sound of Krishna's flute, their ears become like cups, and they stand up and try to drink the nectar of that sound. And the calves who are drinking the mother cow's milk, they are stunned, and they stop their drinking. They are stunned, and the milk stays in their mouth and dribbles down their calf cheeks. So stuyamanam anugar gopai. So the gopas who were dancing and singing as they were walking with Krishna and the cows. Now this is real life. This is real life. Anugar Gopai. So Krishna was coming with all the gopas. Sagrajo, along with Agraja, Sri Balaramji. And at this time, when they were entering from the forest, although Balaram and Krishna were inseparable, they were always together. But at this time, Krishna said to Balaram, "Oh Balaram, I think one of the calves has wandered away, and I think I should find him. So, Abhyaya, I'm just coming." And he wandered to the back of the, away from Balaram, because he had a plan. He wanted to have an exchange with the very young gopis. And this could not be done in front of Dauji, in front of the elder brother. So Krishna wandered away from Balaram. So in this mood, Sagrajo Brajam, Avrajat, they entered. Krishna entered. So Krishna is prominent here. So it is along with Balaram, but it is Krishna who is prominent. And everyone is watching Krishna. And everyone, the cowherd men, the cowherd ladies, the young gopas, life was returning to their bodies, practically speaking. And the young gopis, so they entered. Avrajat means they're entering Vrindavan. It was such a festival. And every day this festival occurs. And every day it is new, it is fresh. So as they are entering, there is a description of Krishna. Please see it with your cleansed minds by the mercy of the holy names. See it, this picture that Srila Sukadeva Goswami is describing to Maharaj Prickett. See it with his words. Lord Krishna's hair, powdered with the dust raised by the cows, was decorated with a peacock feather. His hair was decorated with forest flowers. And the Lord glanced charmingly. His eyes were moving from one to the other, to the other. He glanced charmingly and he smiled beautifully. Played on his flute while his companions were chanting his glories. No one had to tell them to do so. They love Krishna. Again, it was spontaneous. It was natural. They didn't have divided minds. One part of them going this way and another part of them going that way. And should I? Shouldn't I? Their hearts were completely focused upon beloved Krishna in all the in the different rasa that was suitable for them. So his companions, Tuyamanam, they were chanting his glories. Then the gopis, this is describing the young gopis, all together, they came forward to meet him. Some of the mothers-in-laws of the gopis and the mothers of the gopis. They said, "Where are you going now? You shouldn't be going out of the house." And they would reply, everyone else is going. Why can't I go? Are you trying to kill me? And they went anyway. The gopis all together, either individually or as a group, they came forward to meet him. Their eyes, Srila Sukadev Goswami said, were very eager to see him. Their eyes were eager to see him. Srila Sukadev Goswami very carefully says, it wasn't they who were eager to see him, but their eyes were eager to see him. Because on one hand, they were feeling very shy because they were young girls. And to look at a young boy, what would happen if he looked back at them? So they were trying to keep their eyes from Krishna. But the ears were hearing the sound of the flute, and no one knew about it. And their nostrils were smelling the fragrance of Krishna, and no one could tell. So their eyes became envious of their ears and their nostrils that could be fully absorbed in Krishna, because Krishna's fragrance is so special. When the residents of Vrindavan are in the forest, they can tell that Krishna has been there by his fragrance. And they become completely captivated. In the latter part of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj describes how Mahaprabhu was in the gardens of Puri, and suddenly he came across the fragrance of Krishna. And he went mad in ecstasy. So the nostrils of the gopis, without anyone knowing it or detecting it, the nostrils were associating with Krishna through his fragrance. And the ears of the gopis, without anyone detecting it, and no one could tell, they were fully absorbed in the sound of Krishna's flute that was calling them. Krishna's flute calls, enters the ears and enters the heart, and it calls the cowherd boys or the cows, and of course the Braja Gopikas by their name. I'm calling you. So the ears could hear and the nostrils could smell, and the eyes, who were trying to look in the opposite direction, became envious of the ears and the nostrils. Therefore, Srila Sukadev Goswami very carefully says, their eyes became very eager to see him. And then there's a very special verse that Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has commented on very carefully. Pitva Makunda Muka Saragamakshi Bringa. That pitva means to drink. Makunda Muka, the face of Mukunda. The word Mukunda has so many meanings. The giver of liberation, but also he whose mukh has kun, the teeth are like, and his face are like jasmine flowers, such white, pure jasmine flowers, and they are blossoming. Pitva Mukunda Mukha Saragamakshi Bringa, that their eyes became like bees, and as bees cannot, they want to always taste the honey, saragam. So the bees of their eyes, they were, because their eyes, the blackish part of their eyes, the gopis, the doe-eyed gopis have blackish eyes. And what's so, one of the most amazing things about Braja is that this relationship between Krishna and his beloved gopis is on a level that is completely free from the material dealings between young boys and young girls that take place in this world. It is completely free. The most intimate pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan with the gopis have been hidden in front of everyone's eyes. And as long as we have material consciousness in front of our eyes, we cannot see these pastimes. We will see something else. We will see our own minds. The eyes of the gopis are blackish like bees, and they want to drink the honey saragam of Krishna's lotus-like face, lotus honey. Tapam jahor varahajam vrajayoshitamani. These girls of Vrindavan, they had been feeling virahajam, so much separation from him during the day. Their thoughts, their minds, their activities, everything was absorbed in Krishna spontaneously, naturally, out of love. So to remove, well, Krishna's coming home was removing the heat. Tapa means heat, or it means separation. Was removing the heat of separation from Krishna. That they were experiencing not having seen him for one day. And here I am, not having seen Krishna for a very, very long time. And I am so easily, how to say it in a, so easily, my mind is stolen away by such petty, useless, silly things that I already know won't make me happy. And yet this taste of Vrindavan that Mahaprabhu is giving through Harinam Sankirtan, it is tasted. But yet, unfortunate as I am. So this is the mood. This is the mood of chanting. Because I understand some understanding, at least a little understanding, that it is there, that there is a realm there, that it is sweet, that it is wonderful, and yet I'm so unfortunate that I get, there's a word that I don't want to use. I'm trying to think of another word, but I can't think of another word, so I'll use it. Seduced by matter. So when we chant, seeing our misfortune and yet having some taste, some hope, some desire, if we can fill our consciousness with this is the mood of chanting. This is the when the chanting becomes a prayer for mercy, and when it is fully sincere, or whenever Krishna wants, what can one say? Then he will bestow upon us some mercy to carry us towards him. And because it is not exactly in our hands, there is nothing that we can actually do to make causeless mercy descend, Krishna's causeless mercy descend in our heart. We can't force it, but we can make ourselves receptive to it and dependent on Krishna's kind disposition towards us. We can do that. We can develop that consciousness, that longing consciousness, that calling consciousness, that humble consciousness that's filled with dainya, humility. But yet, like the dwarf trying to capture the moon, yet there is a hope that springs in the heart that Krishna's kind disposition will cause a drop of his mercy to fall upon us and the devotees. I don't want to read anymore. But it is so nice. The Srimad Bhagavatam is so nice. It is the internal energy of Krishna. It gives the substance, the content for our chanting. It gives the heart of calling. And therefore, Pramanam Amalam, Mahaprabhu said. He said, this is the highest of references for truth. Prema Pamarto Mahan. To bring us to the greatest gain, or really the only gain in this world, which is Krishna Prema.